Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Brethren, there are a few things which I think would be more anti-Christ than to tolerate or respect the religion of Islam. It is the duty of the Christian to answer the challenge of Muhammad and Islam. Muhammad claimed himself to be superior to Jesus Christ. Muhammad claimed Christ did not finish his work, and the Christian religion was incomplete. Muhammad claimed his religion of Islam to be improved, completed, and superior to the religion of Christianity. Since Muhammad lays down a serious challenge to Christ and Christianity, we Christians must answer Muhammad and Islam's claims. What would Christ say? Jesus Christ has given us a clear teaching on how to evaluate a prophet who comes after him in history, especially if the latter prophet asserts his superiority over Jesus Christ. That evaluation is the fruit that such prophets produce by their life and teaching. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Christ uses very clear, simple language about discerning the truthfulness of prophets. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Sadly, in the Western world today, the majority, it would seem, would choose not to rock the boat with Islam. The modern Broadway version of Christianity, sadly, would seem to want to try to accommodate or to be tolerant of Islam. The Prince's recent USA tour was to promote that very tolerance of Islam. Does anyone remember where the Broadway leads according to what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Jesus Christ obviously knows what is at stake. It really is sad how few who would call themselves Christians today seem to understand the stakes. Religious truth claims of false prophets, most certainly in the real world, put people's lives at risk. I'm going to say that again. Religious truth claims of false prophets, most certainly in this real world, put people's lives at risk. Since 9/11, everyone should be able to see that the price of accommodation, tolerance, and compromise and appeasement is too high. Also, we should not forget but it is Mohammed who claimed himself to be superior to Christ. We should not forget that Muhammad said his new religion improves on Christianity. Muhammad and Islam issued the challenge in the first place. We must not forget that at least 600 years before Muhammad came on the world stage, Christ answered Muhammad and other self-proclaimed prophets with the truthful issue and right inspection of the fruit produced by such prophets. What is the fruit evident in their life and teaching? That is the test. And that's how we may know. We will know them by examining the deeds and words of their life. Suppose that I claim that my way is better than yours. Then I should be able to back up my claim with my actions in obvious ways. My behavior should actually be better than yours. Indeed, actions speak louder than our words. Suppose that I, as the founder of a religion, say that husbands in my community are allowed to beat their wives, like may be found in Surah 434. But you, as the founder of a religion, say that husbands in your community are not allowed to beat their wives. Then anyone can objectively judge what is the better in reality and in fact. I have promoted an easily judged and obviously bad practice, Allah Surah 434. But you were vindicated for not teaching such a bad practice. I simply do not pass the fruit inspection test on that issue. And you do pass the test. The fruit or behavior or real practice of wives being beaten by husbands is rotten. All should be able to see in just this one simple example, not to mention the honor killings, that Jesus Christ is absolutely and profoundly correct to use this simple test for his followers and anyone else to judge righteously the claims of latter prophets. By their fruit you shall know them. If Islam improves on Christianity, then these improvements should be observable. Just take an objective look at the life and practices of the founder of Christianity and the founder of Islam. How does Muhammad's claim to superiority and improvement of Islam over Christianity stand? Can we objectively observe and compare the behavior and actions of Muhammad and Jesus Christ, who both did live and die as men upon this earth? By their fruits you shall know them. There simply is no way that anyone who would make such a comparison in objective, unbiased, factual, knowledgeable truth, who could truthfully say Muhammad was superior. The improvement and superiority which Muhammad claims simply are false. They cannot be observed in truth or fact. There's clearly observable answer to Muhammad's challenge. Muhammad's claim of his superiority over Jesus Christ is absolutely false. Muhammad did lie regarding his falsely claimed improvement of Christianity in Islam. It is the duty of Christian love to put the light of truth on Muhammad's falsely claimed superiority of his life and person to that of Jesus Christ. Muhammad was deceived, and his followers are deceived if they believe opposite of the truth and observable facts. It is the Christian duty of love to answer Muhammad and Islam's challenge. For as the Quran in Surah 1971 explicitly states, otherwise hell is the unavoidable destiny of every Muslim. Yes, Surah 1971 says hell is the unavoidable destiny of every Muslim. The only real hope for the Muslim is that the Holy Spirit would move and empower some Christian to do that duty of love to set them free of that most certain destiny of hell with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The hard, easily observable, factual evidence of the fruit most certainly and clearly answers the challenge that Muhammad levels against Jesus Christ. The evidence of the fruit demonstrates beyond any doubt the difference between Muhammad's fruit which is seen to be bad compared to the fruit seen in the life of Jesus Christ. Examine these things. See and verify if the following accurate historical facts and practices are or are not the actual practices in Muhammad's life. Check in the context of the verses in the Quran attached to these things we know from the Quran and Hadiths about the life and practices of Muhammad. Verify that these practices and facts of Muhammad's life are not the figment of anyone's imagination. The following facts of comparison, fruit inspection, if you will, yields a certain conclusion that is not fabricated, not made up, and not slanted. The comparisons will be taken in their full context directly out of Muhammad's holy book and the testimony of his claimed spiritually superior followers. These practices actually happened in Muhammad's life and community. Can we maintain integrity if we deny an atrocity when Muhammad in his Quran clearly orders the violence, murder, or crime? A logical, truthful, unbiased person would not deny something was an atrocity simply because of fondness or reverence for the one ordering the atrocity. Before we go to the detailed fruit inspection of Jesus Christ and Muhammad, and the fruit inspection of Christianity and Islam, one surah needs to be given for perspective. The foundational core teaching of all high-level satanic beliefs is that Jesus Christ did not really die on that Roman cross outside the city of Jerusalem on Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 AD. Yet nothing in history is more factually well documented. All have a need to understand that this denial is the foundational belief in high-level, demonically empowered Satanism. And that fact should be put in the light of truth at the outset. Now, from the Quran, here is Surah 4, 157, which says, "And they're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam, the apostle of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared to them like Isa, and most surely those who differ therein are likely in doubt about it. They have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture, and they killed him not for sure." Though what follows will be a short summary of very much hard evidence to examine the fruit, it will be conclusive. The facts regarding Muhammad's life and teaching will come from the Quran. The facts regarding Jesus Christ will come from the New Testament. And these facts may be easily verified by anyone. And though short, will be conclusive. We know from his own holy book that Muhammad nicknamed his weapons. And Jesus Christ has nothing in the record of his life that indicates he ever owned a single weapon. That is quite a difference. Jesus Christ never waged physical war or used physical violence on anyone. Jesus Christ personally endured the highest levels of physical violence which could possibly be inflicted upon a man. The closest Jesus Christ ever got to using physical violence was when he overthrew the tables of the money changers in the temples and drove them out with a whip made of cords in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17. And yet the more one would study him, it is evident that with no weapons and never using violence, he demonstrated a level of courage, strength, and power of life unparalleled in human history. Muhammad in his Quran commands that adulterers and adulteresses should receive 100 lashes in Surah 24:2. Reliable hadiths, which we know are Muhammad's words and deeds outside of the Quran, command stoning them. Christ forgave the woman caught in adultery. The men who had gathered around to stone her were convicted by Christ not to stone her and left. She stayed weeping until Christ told her to go and sin no more in John chapter 8, 1 through 11. Muhammad, in his Quran, permits husbands to beat their wives, according to Surah 434. Neither Christ nor the New Testament apostles permit this or practice this. Muhammad, in his Quran, commands that the hands of male and female thieves should be cut off in Surah 538. Christ never said to do this. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that thieves should work with their hands, not get them cut off in order to share with those in need, Ephesians 4:28. In this matter, and in many others, Paul even would be seen morally and spiritually superior to Muhammad, very much different from the way Muhammad would have his followers think or believe. Muhammad assassinated and taught assassination of political enemies. Christ never assassinates any of his enemies, even bad ones, who would want to crucify him. When he was crucified by his enemies, making the required payment of my sins and your sins, from that cross he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Muhammad, in his Quran, commands death or cutting off of hands and feet for fighting and corrupting the land in Surah 533. Christ, the Prince of Peace, dies for the sins of the world so that corruption and the fighting would stop. Muhammad, in his Quran, promises sensuous, virgin-rich gardens for martyrs dying in a military holy war. You can find that in Surahs 44, 51 through 56, 52, 17 through 29, 55, 46 through 78, 61, 10, 4, 74, and 9, 1, 11. Christ's sacrificial death on the cross means that Christians do not have to die in a holy war to be guaranteed heaven. They need only trust in Jesus Christ's sacrifice and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Muhammad unjustly executed around 600 male Jews and enslaved the women and children. This act of violence is celebrated in his Quran in Surah 33, 25 through 27. Jesus Christ was born a Jew and was crucified with the charge of being King of the Jews. Jesus Christ loves his own people. Jesus Christ loves the whole world, yes, even the polytheists whom Muhammad slaughters. Jesus Christ, by his own blood sacrifice, redeems souls from bondage and corruption of a sin-bound world. He who created this world, which he loves, also redeems it by his own sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection. He was not sent to slaughter people. He was slaughtered to save people. Muhammad launched his own military crusade in 630 AD with 30,000 jihadists against the Byzantines who never showed up. According to Surah 929, and Jesus Christ, by contrast, never did lead any physical war, but won the greatest battle, over which, if the princes of this world had known how totally he would win the greatest battle, they never would have crucified him. It occurred, according to John, who was right there to witness, according to John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. At the same time, there was a great earthquake ripping the heavy veil in the temple, and it marked the total defeat of the one who stirs the lust and covetousness that is real and is the true basis of all physical war. Yes, the real, true basis of all physical war is lust and covetousness. Jesus Christ defeated Satan and the gods of war by sacrificing himself. What medieval European imposters did in using, or rather abusing, the name of Christianity in the wholesale slaughter of Jews and Muslims was deplorably wrong. The so-called Crusades were opposite of Christ's life and teaching. And no one, in honest evaluation, could conclude otherwise. Yes, the life and teaching of Jesus Christ are known to be very opposite of what European impostors in the Crusades, led by the apostate Pope, did. The foundation of Christianity is Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ taught during his life on earth as the Son of Man is even more fully recorded in the New Testament than Muhammad's teachings are recorded in the Quran. These things are observable and verifiable facts of fruit inspection. Jesus Christ in the New Testament, sealed with his blood, does not endorse any military holy war. Muhammad, on the other hand, taught that war, aggressive war, is foundational to Islam. Muhammad did launch his crusades against Byzantine Christians. Muhammad did, and his moon god of war followers do, endorse and go out on many military, violent, and bloody wars of aggression in the name of their moon god Allah, as Muhammad clearly taught. And this is verifiable by any impartial and unbiased observer. To call any war holy and fail to recognize physical war for what it really is, lust-driven covetousness to the max, is folly. Such could in no way be superior to the teaching of Jesus Christ or anything but a religion of hell and the devil. Surah 5:16 asserts that Islam is the religion of peace. Anyone can see from the fruit inspection that is a bald-faced lie. Islam is not a religion of peace. Islam is a religion of lust and demon-driven holy war called jihad. Christians and all people shall know prophets by their fruit. Muhammad, the self-described human messenger and prophet, according to Surah 3:144, clearly fails to pass any godly or truthful examination of the fruit of his life. Muhammad's claim of religious superiority is ludicrous and absurd. When the fruit is inspected, inspecting the fruit shows the genuine need of deliverance from demonic delusion of anyone caught in the snare of such absurdity. It is not superior or godly fruit, but the deceptive demonic fruit of hell. On the other hand, Christ, the Son of God, passes the inspection of the godly fruit of his life and teaching with the level of perfection one could only expect to find in the only begotten Son of God. Islam does not improve on Christianity. This conclusion follows naturally and logically. For undeceived, unbiased, objective, reasonable, truthful people, practical matters like wife-beating, whipping adulterers, cutting off hands of thieves, and killing people who leave such an absurd religion, or who will not join such absurdity, is decisive. Actions and practical policies recorded, taught, and observable in this real world cannot be explained away. Some people are willfully blind. Some people refuse to see how obviously wrong it is to do these things. Islam would crumble tomorrow without the fear built into the large armies and cruel barbarian forces and terror enforcing religion, so obviously inferior and void of godliness, hope, love, grace, and certainly no mercy and truth. It is ridiculous and absurd for Islam to say Christianity is inferior or an incomplete or earlier religion. Let us suppose that it's my practice to kill polytheists in bloody battles instead of converting them only by preaching, instead of letting them live if they refuse to convert, like Surah 9:4 and 5 teach. Compare my bloody practice of killing polytheists with the merciful way you choose of not killing them. Compare the bloody way with a way to convert them by preaching only and let them live if they refuse to convert. Under these conditions, the bloody way of killing the polytheist fails the realistic, observable inspection of the fruit of the bloody method of killing the idolater, apostate, or polytheist. It is as clear as life and death, or light or dark, or right or wrong, or God or Satan. Letting them live would be the godly way of life, love, grace, hope, mercy, and faith. To teach the killing of idolaters, transgressors, apostates, or polytheists realistically and logically should cause the loss of the right of such a religion to be taken seriously in any claims about the nature of God. It should be clear that such bloody means of violence serve either myself or, worse, a lesser God. On the other hand, preaching only, allowing the idolater, apostate, or polytheist to live in the way of the God of life. For we know God is the ultimate judge, and their foot shall slip in due time. Such sound practical policies do deserve a fair hearing about the abstract ideas regarding God. But this will never be allowed in Muslim-controlled countries. Muhammad's failure in his challenge to Christ is obvious. If Islam does not improve on Christianity in observable, real, truthful ways, then it likely does not improve on Christianity in abstract, theoretical matters. We all see that Islam does not improve on Christianity in observable, down-to-earth ways. And because of this, Islam does not likely improve on Christianity in abstract or theoretical matters. Muhammad embodies Islam, for he is the founder and the one through which Allah reveals the claimed superior religion. It is fair and correct to use Muhammad to test Islam. Fruit inspection says that if a prophet fails the test of bearing good fruit, then his more abstract claims are suspect. In a religious context, especially when Muhammad, the founder and leader of his religion, asserts that he is better and superior to Jesus Christ. This test of the life and fruit of Muhammad and Jesus Christ is essential. Factual data confirm Muhammad's failure in abstract ideas. For example, it's a verifiable fact that the New Testament is reliable and historically accurate, whereas the Quran has its share of problems. Just two quick examples are that the Quran says that Haman, rather than Joseph, became the second in command to Pharaoh ruling Egypt. The Quran also teaches Miriam to be the sister of Moses and Aaron. Yes, the Quran actually teaches Moses' sister is one and the same as the mother of Jesus. Historically, there were two Miriams, different people, who were separated by 1,500 years worth of time. Muhammad obviously picked up a hodgepodge of ideas that circulated over the trade routes and inserted them into his Quran. It's absurd and right out of the pits of hell to assert that Jesus did not die on that cross. Only Satanists believe that, and that means every Muslim is worshiping Satan. Everyone reading the historic accounts know what a powerful, demonic, supercharged lie it is that is found in Surah 4:157. Do Muslims understand? In that particular Surah 4:157, that Muhammad claims divine revelation from Allah? That is the high satanic lie. High-level Satanism finds that particular lie that Muhammad promoted. It is, in fact, the highest known satanic lie. In very clear, obvious ways, Muhammad is not a reformer of Christianity and Judaism, but is a deformer and a perverter and destroyer of the two earlier religions. Historical facts confirm that Muhammad is most likely wrong in his theoretical doctrines. His revelation was from an angel of light who told Muhammad that he was Gabriel. A true apostle of God said some 500 years before Muhammad was born, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Yeah, that's the name of Muhammad's angel, Satan, impersonating Gabriel. Yes, no marvel, the Word of God says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Never forget that the Quran contains Surah 4:157, which is the preeminent high satanic lie. And they're saying, "Surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam, the apostle of Allah." And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared to them so, like Isa. And most surely those who differ therein are only in doubt about it. They have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture. And they killed him not for sure. That is your high, that is the preeminent high satanic lie. And it is central to Islam. And it's what guarantees the truth of Surah 1971, that every Muslim is most certainly bound for hell. That Surah 4:157 is the central teaching of all Satanists and high-level occultists. Reasonable, honest, and fair-minded people evaluating the fruit of Muhammad, the fruit of his life, should rightfully conclude that Muhammad's inspired book is suspect because of Muhammad's life in contradiction of God's Ten Commandments. God commanded, "Thou shalt not kill." Muhammad killed and religiously taught killing. God commanded, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Muhammad had 11 wives and God only knows how many concubines. Muhammad's false witness of being greater than Jesus Christ. Yes, few things could be more of a false witness than that. The only begotten Son of God, Creator, Redeemer, and owner of the fullness of the earth, may be the greatest witness against God of all history, out of the mouth of Satan's prophet Muhammad. In fact, honest, civilized people have the right to prefer Christ's factually kinder but allegedly erroneous book any day and every day over Muhammad's allegedly inerrant but factually erroneous extremist scripture. Muhammad must first show us his exemplary life before he is allowed to preach about high-minded theology, or before honest, civilized people would tolerate and or take seriously his revelations about spiritual things of God. Once any prophet's fruit goes bad, or starts growing off of a bad tree, then those who know good fruit from bad fruit, the difference between godly fruit and demonic fruit, do not need to inspect his teaching about God. He becomes a false prophet and is known to be a false prophet by his fruit. If Muhammad was wrong about practical matters like beating wives, whipping adulterers, launching military crusades, assassinating enemies, and promising his jihadists virgin-rich gardens if they die in military holy war, then why would Christians listen to Muhammad on theoretical matters? They will not. And in conformity to the duty of love, they should not. They should not tolerate Muslims going to hell. No. No, a Christian does not tolerate Muslims going to hell. Christians do not respect Muslims going to hell. Many Christians do risk their life lovingly and have given their lives in trying to turn Muslims away from the Quranic destiny of Surah 1971. Which most certainly is hell. Muhammad's failure to pass Jesus Christ's fruit inspection test by no means shuts down all dialogue. If Christian and Muslim theologians want to debate the Trinity, then they're free to do so. However, They should not expect millions upon millions of Bible-educated Christians worldwide to feel compelled to debate such ideas. Muslims should not be surprised that Christians do not take Muhammad and his revelations seriously. What is surprising is Muslims really take such revelations seriously. Obviously, a few of them do, which even the vast majority of those who might call themselves Muslims deplore as terrorist extremists. Yes, they obviously take what Muhammad said seriously. And decent people who call themselves Muslims deplore as terrorist extremists those who do take seriously what Muhammad said and taught. Muhammad lived the sort of life which godly people should question. Muhammad's life and his religious teachings have been enshrined in his not-so-eternal and not-so-inerrant Quran. Sadly, Muslims are taught not to doubt or question the Moses and Aaron. Yes, the Quran actually teaches Moses' sister is one and the same as the mother of Jesus. Historically, there were two Maryams, different people, who were separated by 1,500 years worth of time. Muhammad in the Middle East and Mediterranean world in the first millennium following the time of Jesus Christ when he walked this earth as the Son of Man. Obviously, any such self-proclaimed that Jesus did not in order to hold on to his followers will sometimes be kind to them. The good qualities do not lash out and harm people. The bad character traits do that. However, the overall picture of Muhammad's life in Mecca between 622 and 632 shows him waging war on polytheists as he conquers Mecca. He banished and killed the Jews and launches a crusade on the Christians. In the 10 years that he lived in Medina, he goes out on or sends out or launches 74 raids, expeditions, or full-scale wars, ranging from negotiations that do not lead to war to assassination hit squads and the conquest of Mecca with 10,000 jihadists to a crusade with 30,000 jihadists against the Byzantines who never showed up. No one can whitewash this dark picture which obliterates his positive qualities. Muhammad does not complete and fulfill the mission and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world expressing the love of God and defeating the devil. He did not join the devil's army. Holy war. What a mockery and false witness regarding the God who is love. The fact is that Muhammad and Islam are very demonic, perverse versions of religion and positively Antichrist. No wonder the Antichrist prince promotes such a religion. No wonder the global Satanists favor the religion of Islam and exempt Islam from their absurd hate crime laws. Does Islam improve on Christianity? How ridiculous, how absurd. The truth of the hard evidence is a very emphatic no. This poor Muslim is bound in a bondage religion of fear. And unless the Christian would courageously give them the truth to set them free and let them know that all the Muslims who would then be duty bound by that satanic religion of Islam to kill them will have to come through me. They'll have to kill me to get to kill you. And you see, I know the God who created heaven and earth. Muhammad taught that his followers had to fight for the God that he claimed created heaven and earth. But think, just think, does the God who had power to create heaven and earth need somebody to fight his battles for him? No. I know the true God. I know the true God who created heaven and earth, and he does not need anybody to fight his battles. No. The true God who created heaven and earth, he can fight his own battles. And many Muslims will see that the true God will even fight for his people. Oh, yes. Muslims are bound by fear to stay in this absurd demonic religion, the moon god religion of Satan. And it's the Christian duty of love not to bomb them to hell. No. The Christian duty of love is to get them the gospel and let them know that we'll stand with them. And if the other Muslims are going to kill them, of course, getting themselves set free of Satan's moon god religion of the great false prophet Muhammad. If the other Muslims are going to kill him, they'll have to kill us with him. That's the duty of love of the Christian to the Muslim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.